A great windstorm arose and the waves beat into the boat so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was a dead calm. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you no faith?" A group of faithful men met every Wednesday morning for breakfast at St. Swithin's. One day, the smell of bacon wafted through the kitchen and out of the doors, down the streets, and into the nostrils of some homeless folks who wandered up for food. The next week, more homeless folks showed up, hoping for some toast and some bacon. And some of the faithful men that met every Wednesday morning for breakfast at St. Swithin's did not want new guests, especially the kind that they thought might be dangerous or have AIDS or might be mentally ill. Some of the old group said, "This was our group, and they have taken over." And some said, "We are Christians, and we should take a chance and welcome the stranger." A storm ensued. Waves licked the boat. Some thought that they would be thrown overboard. Some thought that all would perish. People were afraid. But today, that same group of faithful men feed 200 hungry people. Volunteers from all over bring their children to learn about what giving of yourself really means. Radical hospitality from a bunch of folks that never could imagine the word radical would be used to describe them. A grand southern lady of the church donated thousands of dollars to her church and had a room with fancy furniture dedicated to her late husband. When the rector needed more space to expand the English as a second language class, a ministry of the church, he put some chairs in the 99% of the time unused room. The grand lady liked things just the way they were. She heard that some people that took the English as a second language class might be in the country illegally, and they were criminals. Her fear made her angry, and she called all her friends to persuade them to be angry at the rector too. Sides were taken. A storm ensued. Waves licked the boat. Some thought they would be thrown overboard. Some thought all would perish. People were afraid. But today, that grand lady of the church teaches a class herself of 15 women from Honduras, Guatemala, and Mexico, all of them lovely, funny, grateful human beings. No one has experienced crime from the immigrants that make up the class, although crime does exist and has existed in that neighborhood around the church for many years. These days, the grand lady can be seen on Friday mornings teaching English as a second language class while holding one of her students' infants. The lack of fear feels like a tiny baby wrapped in a blanket. Fear is a hollow darkness in the future that reaches back through time to rob our joy now by belittling the sovereign goodness of God. Fear is what creates barriers and anger and causes human disasters like separating small children from their parents. Fear creates an other. It creates a backstory for that other. It eats away at our happiness. It makes us do things that are opposite of Christ-like. And faith is the only way to rise to the surface from this darkness of fear. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, "Faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase." But we, like Doubting Thomas, want to see and touch the reality of our lives, right? We want to see every single step of the staircase. It's hard to grasp things we can't see, and uncertainty sometimes breeds fear. But if we remain in this fear, we cannot move forward and be who God wants us to be, who we are called to be as Christians. The beauty of being in a relationship with our risen Lord is that we don't always have to have the winning combination of bravery and faith. We can't snap our fingers and just not be frightened anymore. So we have to rely on things we cannot see. Our security lives in the Lord of the storm, who silences the roaring of the waves. Our faith, then, is sometimes just with us and in us by the sheer grace of God. In 2 weeks, we'll have people in our parking lot that we don't know. They live out of their cars. They have no home. But while they're here, they'll have a place to park their car, and they'll have a restroom. Maybe they'll have a few nights of sleep that they haven't had in a really long time. And there are some around us that have expressed a fear of crime and unsanitary conditions, people that come and park here and they'll never leave. But those of us with a heart for work in the community know that even though we can't see the whole staircase, if we don't take the first step, we'll never go anywhere. We cannot enact God's dream for this world without taking a few chances. We can't be part of the Jesus movement without faith. Today, the world is filled with those who are scared, some because of the storm that they are in, the storm of separation and desperation, of poverty and violence and hunger. And some are scared because of an imaginary storm. They're afraid that one bad thing will automatically lead to another and another, and then they rob themselves of a future with a brighter outcome, one in which is God's dream for us all. We're all on this ocean together, every single one of us, every living creature. Love is the grace that keeps us afloat. The God of the storm gives us this love. And as followers of Christ, we must share this love that finds its true expression in the basic Christian principles of justice and mercy. Not just for those that are easy to love, but the ones that we don't know. We must speak, we must act, we must do so for Christ. Fear can't and should not impede us to embrace God's dream, because we know that fear does not have the last word. Reigning over this world is the God of the storm, who stands by us and who is mightier than anything we can dream up to be afraid of. Amen.